sacrifice to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know, but the man who loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live, and there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everyone knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you, who have this knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother, for whom Christ died, is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against your brothers in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so I will not cause him to fall. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to him now in prayer and ask for the Spirit's blessing on the reading and proclamation of his word. Please pray with me. We praise you, O Yahweh. It is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant and praise is becoming. We pray that you'd build up your new Jerusalem. Gather the outcasts and heal the brokenhearted. Bind up their wounds. You count the number of the stars. You give names to all of them. You are great and abundant in strength. Your understanding is infinite. We pray, support the afflicted, O Yahweh. Bring down the wicked to the ground. For we sing praises to you with thanksgiving on the lyre. You cover the heavens with clouds to provide rain to the earth. You make grass to grow on the mountains and give food to the beast, to the young ravens, which cry out to you. You do not delight in the strength of the horse, nor take pleasure in the legs of a man. You favor those who fear you, those who wait for your loving kindness. We praise you, O God. Strengthen the bars of your gates. Bless your sons within you. Make peace in your borders. Satisfy us with the finest of wheat. Send forth your command to the earth, your word, which runs swiftly. You give snow like wool, frost like ashes, ice as fragments. Who can stand before your cold? Send forth your word and melt them. Cause the winds to blow and the waters to flow. Declare your words to Jacob, your statutes and your ordinances to Israel. You have not dealt thus with any other people. The nations have not known them. But you have spoken thus to us, and we praise you for this, O Yahweh. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Lord, give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to love you, to love our neighbors, and to love our truth. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare to hear God's word proclaimed, let us prepare our souls with joyful song. Let us stand together and sing. Sermon text this morning is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Proverbs 3, brothers and sisters, the word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver, and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, last week at the congregational meeting we elected elders. And elders raised the issue of the importance of wisdom. The importance of wisdom. Jesus Christ leads his church. But he leads his church through his Spirit-empowered leaders. Specifically, elders. The office of elder implies the importance of age. Elder implies the importance of age. And with age comes the importance of wisdom. Jesus Christ leads his church with godly, Spirit-empowered wisdom. Now, the Bible has a genre of books, a section of books devoted specifically to wisdom. The books of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. Now, there's wisdom to be found throughout the Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation. But God gave these specific books for the primary purpose of wisdom. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Now, elders are to have wisdom, but all of God's people are called to be wise. Wisdom is not limited to leadership. In the beginning, Adam and Eve were to grow up, to mature, and increase in wisdom, in faithfulness to God. Every human being in the human race is to seek the Lord and find wisdom in him. In fact, in Jesus Christ himself is found all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So if you want wisdom, you want knowledge, you go to Jesus Christ. Now, wisdom is clearly laid out here in the book of Proverbs. And this morning, we hear from Proverbs what the Lord has to say about wisdom. So a couple points about wisdom. Number one, as mentioned, wisdom begins with God. Wisdom begins with God. Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. He is the Creator, God, the Triune God. He made everything. And he is all-knowing. Boys and girls, there is a big, long, fancy word for all-knowing. Who can raise their hand and tell me what's that word for all-knowing? You've learned it in Sunday school. Close, that's all present everywhere. Omniscience. Omniscience or omniscient? God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows everything. God knows everything. And that's not, he just knows what you're doing when people aren't looking. Okay, he knows all things. He knows the true facts about everything. As mankind searches the depths of creation to learn about science, to learn about materials, to learn about creatures that God has put in creation, God knows it already. He knows all things. So if you want to know, if you want to learn, if you want to be educated, where do you go? You go to God. You start with God. He knows everything, so you go to him. And this is why it is insanity to seek truth apart from God. It's insanity to seek truth apart from God. Either to suppress him, to deny him as the creator, it's insanity, or to remain silent about him. For true knowing and true growing in wisdom can only come by the Spirit's blessing. So if we want knowledge, if we want understanding, if we want wisdom in learning, in living, in education, we seek it from God. Secondly, wisdom is for ruling. Wisdom is for ruling. God has given creation to mankind to rule over, to subdue. Jesus Christ has purchased this world with his precious blood, and he's given it to us, his people. The Great Commission is to go forth to all nations. The gospel is an international project, is for the whole world. God gives us the whole world. Proverbs 8:15. By wisdom kings reign. By wisdom kings reign, and rulers make laws that are just. So if the church is going to take hold of creation in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and rule over creation, as we've been charged to do, we must faithfully seek wisdom from God. We're not going to rule without wisdom. God wants his will to be done on earth. We want his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. But in order to do that, we need to know his will. And we need to be wise, wisely executed. For God will not bless the labors of an immature and unwise church. What the church does, what the church prays for, must be faithful. And it must be wise. So if we are lacking wisdom, our efforts will be futile. So we go to God, we increase in wisdom, and we are to be faithful. And he will bless our labors. Let's pause there and the kids come forward for the children's message, please. All right, can you see me with your eyes? Can you show me your eyes? Can I see your eyes? See me over there too? Good job. Good job. Good morning. The Lord be with you. All right, who can raise their hand and tell me who wrote most of the Proverbs here in the book of Proverbs? What man wrote most of these Proverbs? Evan? King Solomon. He wrote most of them. Okay, and I want you guys to listen. Almost every one of these chapters starts out with, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching." Chapter 2. "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you." Chapter 3. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart." Chapter 4. "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding." How does he start every chapter? Dean?
My son.
My son. Hey, Solomon wrote Proverbs, and he wrote most of the Proverbs to his son. His son when he was a boy. And he wanted his son to grow up to be a wise man. But in order to grow up to be a wise man, he had to listen to his father, and he had to mature and be faithful and learn wisdom. Now, raise your hand if you're a kid. Okay, good job. Hands down. Raise your hand if you are a boy. Okay, hands down. Raise your hand if you're a girl. All right. See if you're paying attention. We just celebrated Christmas. And we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And when Jesus was born, what did he look like as a person? Was he a man? What was he? He was a baby. And then you read what happened after he was a baby. He was a little boy. And he grew up to be an older child. And he learned wisdom. If you read in Luke chapter 2, Jesus is at the temple and he's talking to the teachers. He's learning and growing in wisdom. Can you believe that? Jesus, the Son of God, had to learn wisdom? Do you think Jesus had to learn to be wise? He did. He learned to be wise. Now, as God, did he know everything? What's that word again? Omniscient. As God, the Son, is all-knowing, but Jesus gave us an example that this is how you are to live. First, you're a baby. Raise your hand if you were a baby at one time. Okay, hands down. You went from a baby to a small child. Raise your hand if you're a small child right now. Ah, big guy's got you. Okay, hands down. Okay, raise your hand if you're growing up. All right. So you're growing up. Raise your hand if you're learning God's Word. Okay, hands down. Raise your hand if you want to grow in wisdom. That's the right answer. So, does wisdom come in a day? Can you learn wisdom just today? Can you learn wisdom by the end of the service? No, you have to grow up in it. And hopefully, tomorrow you'll be wiser than you were today. And next year you'll be wiser than you were today. And 10 years from now you'll be wiser than you are today. But you have to grow up and be wise. Okay? So let's pray and ask God's blessing that we can grow up and be wise. Full hands, close eyes, and you can repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for your love in sending your Son to die for our sins and give us eternal life. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit to grow up, to be faithful, and to become wise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos, good job. You can head back to your seats. Like, as mentioned, King Solomon wrote the majority of Proverbs, and he directed them to his son. So you read Proverbs, it's a book written from a father to a child or to children. So you think about catechism and teaching our children truth. Proverbs is a great book for that, to teach our children. Proverbs are given by God to children to grow them in knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And if we consider this in light of God's Word, His will, which He's revealed to us, His will is for all of God's children, not just the little ones. God's will is for all His children. His will teaches us how we are to live. We have a portion of our service that says God's will for life. It teaches us how to live. And His will is good for us. His will is good for us. To hear God's word, to learn God's word, to know God's word is a blessing for life. It's a blessing. We live better in knowing what God's will is for us. We don't have to live in ignorance. We don't have to figure it out all on our own. He reveals it to us. He gives us boundaries. He gives us laws. Tells us this is how you are to live. And these are good protections for us. His commands are good for us. Here, Proverbs 3, 1 and 2 again. My son, do not forget my teaching. Keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. God's commands are not burdensome. They are a blessing for us. Obey God and it will go well with you. Life is better with obedience. And the Lord reveals this principle in Proverbs and in His wisdom. Wisdom is good for you. It is good to be wise. It is good to seek wisdom. Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. The Lord says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Does that sound like it'll go better for you? To seek God's will, to seek wisdom? It's even good for your body to grow in wisdom. Because what's the alternative to obedience? What's the alternative to wisdom? It's sin. And the wages of sin is death. God gives life. And if we seek life apart from Him, He does not bless us. In fact, He says the opposite. I will curse you. If you don't seek my will, I will curse you. Our foolish hearts are darkened. We become futile in our thinking. And then we spiral further and further deeper into death. Proverbs 8, 35 and 36, the Lord says, "For whoever finds wisdom finds life and receives favor from the Lord. Whoever fails to find wisdom harms himself. All who hate wisdom love death." All who hate wisdom love death. So if you hate wisdom, if you don't seek it, if you don't seek godly living, you're actually hating God and loving death. So it's better for you to obey God. It's better for you to grow in wisdom. And not only is it better, wisdom is worthy of pursuit. Wisdom is worthy of pursuit. Proverbs portrays wisdom as a beautiful woman. Remember, Proverbs wrote, Solomon wrote this to his son. And he says, wisdom's like a beautiful woman to be pursued rightly. A relationship with her is godly and worthy of pleasure. But on the other side, not seeking wisdom is wickedness. And wickedness is portrayed as an adulterous woman, a woman who leads men to death. So if your son's growing up, do you want him to pursue the godly woman who satisfies rightly? Or would you rather have your son pursue an adulterous woman who leads to death? That's the choice for a son. Wisdom is worthy of pursuit. And the Lord describes godly wisdom as wonderful. Wisdom is glorious. Who wouldn't want wisdom? Listen to these descriptive words, verses 13 through 17. "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. Wisdom is more profitable than silver. She yields better returns than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with wisdom. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Wisdom's ways are pleasant ways. All her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. And those who lay hold of wisdom will be blessed." Does that sound like something to be enjoyed? Something worthy of pursuit? Now we can say obey God and grow in wisdom, and that would be true. You have to obey God. Obey God, grow in wisdom. There's an ethical side to wisdom. There's an obedience to seeking wisdom. And as mentioned, there is life is better with wisdom. Life is better for wise people. All that's true. Folly is not good for anyone. But this third aspect of wisdom is pursue wisdom and enjoy it. Pursue wisdom and love it. You won't be disappointed. If you seek after wisdom, you'll be satisfied. So number one, brothers and sisters, you have to grow in wisdom. God commands it. Get wisdom. Go get it. You have to do it. Number two, things are going to work out better if you're wise. It'll be better for your life. But three, being wise is going to be great. Being wise is going to be a lot of fun. Now you can eat vanilla ice cream. It can be your favorite flavor of ice cream. But there's a lot of other ice cream flavors out there that you ought to try. And you won't be disappointed if you try them. So try them. God says there's a whole world of wisdom there for you. The riches of and glory of knowledge and wisdom in Christ, seek it. You'll be satisfied. You won't be disappointed. So love it. Go after it. So how do we do that? Well, as mentioned, wisdom is found in God. It cannot be found apart from God. So you have to go to God to get wisdom. And since God is our highest good in life, it makes sense that seeking wisdom would be good and fulfilling. Seek God and be satisfied. Wisdom is God, so seek wisdom and you will be satisfied. Second of all, wisdom just doesn't happen. You have to actually pursue it. You have to submit yourselves to the Lord, and you have to seek His will. It doesn't happen by osmosis. You have to go get it. So you submit to His Word. You desire His truth. You read your Bibles, and you read it over and over and over again. You trust the long process of God, because wisdom takes time. That's why wisdom is attributed to the older people, to gray hair, because that has happened over time. But it just doesn't happen. Just because you have gray hair doesn't mean you're wise. You have to grow in wisdom. You have to ask God for it. Ask God for wisdom. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and wisdom will be opened to you. So ask God. Next, see the refining process of life. The refining process of life. Wisdom comes through trials. Wisdom comes through hardships. The Lord grows fruit this way. By your humble submission to Him, your trust in Him, God blesses you with wisdom and refinement. And lastly, seek wise, godly people to be around. Seek wise, godly people. Be humble and learn from them. You have two ears and one mouth. Use them in proportion. Listen to wise people. So as we depart today, leave with this charge. Go get wisdom. You will not be disappointed. Amen. Let us pray.